interview right now. We will put it up online for y'all to listen to. But that was Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch talking about the group's recent feedback of the COCL report. So we're going to dive right in the last couple minutes to the calendar updates. Tomorrow, the CRC has a work group in room 110 at City Hall from 5:30 to 6:30. That is on their crowd control policies. And then the PPB is hosting a listening session for the Jeffrey Nia Patriot Prayer Text on Thursday from 6 to 8 at the Marantha Church on 12th and Skidmore. And then, as we already mentioned, the next PPB Body Cam Forum is February 22nd from 2:30 to 4:30 at Matt Dishman Community Center. And finally, the PCEP, the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, is holding their monthly meeting at 5:30 on Tuesday. That's next Tuesday at Tabor Space.
And what was I going to say? Oh, next week, tune in at 5:30 to Totality of Circumstances. We're going to have the Portland State University Student Union, SUSU, on the show to talk about issues that they're engaged with. Good night, Jasmine.
Good night, Sam.
And good night, Liam. Thank you so
much. Thanks, Liam.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell. What did jazz artists Christian Scott Atunde Adjua, Pharoah Sanders, Steve Turay, Terrence Blanchard, and Marcus Strickland have in common? One, they are all performing at this year's PDX Jazz Festival. And two, they have all been featured on my program, Jazz in the New Millennium. Each one-hour episode focuses on a living jazz artist, putting their work in historical perspective. The weekly show is syndicated nationally by the African American Public Radio Consortium, but it can be heard anytime on KBOO's website by going to the drop-down menu at kboo.fm, clicking on audio, then podcasts, and scrolling down to the Jazz in the New Millennium page. For the convenience of those who might be interested in attending one or more of these concerts, we have grouped the PDX jazz artists together into a special mini-season. That's Jazz in the New Millennium with Rick Mitchell at kboo.fm.
It is 6:02. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up is Is It You or Is It Me with host Guinevere and her special guest, Rachel.
Well, hello out there, and this is a brand new show, Is It You or Is It Me? I'm Guinevere D'Amblia, and Rachel.
Hello.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Guinevere. What's poppin'?
You know, it's a new show, new day, a little bit of nervousness going around, but yeah. Hey, here we are.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be on your show.
Thanks. This I'm so really happy great. You came on.
Oh, I'm honored.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd start. This is KBOO. Yes. 90.7, yep, Portland, yep. Oregon.
Whoop, whoop.
Yay. With a little description about this show, is it you or is it me? And what we want to bring to the conversation around separation, discrimination, differences that we feel. You know, there has been so much in history, in just the history of the United States, you know, not a very long time, of separation, discrimination, hatred. You know, you're different from me, so that means something on some level of usually negative. And so is it you or is it me? We are starting a conversation about... creating different points of view, creating ways to change from a heart level, as opposed to rules, regulations, protests, all of these kind of things, you know, laws and stuff. Protesting is all good. It's all necessary. Changes in society from a governmental level is one thing, but this is talking about a change in the heart. Tell me something, Rachel. How do you feel about that?
I definitely agree with you. I think that people think that it's for us to change people's minds, when that, like you said, like it's about changing the person's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it brings up a point where people talk about racism and they say, oh, children are taught these things, and so they have to unlearn this because this is what has been taught to them in a learning style, mm-hmm. not rather than someone's soul, like, or heart needing to change about someone. And I think that it's really a nice way to put it, because it's not as, in my opinion, it's not as aggressive as saying I'm changing your mind. Some mm-hmm. people feel like they, if someone's changing their mind, then that's changing who they are and their character and their personhood or whatever. But if it's their heart, that means that all people who are marginalized are asking for is just some love.
Right.
That's literally it.
That's literally it.
Like, no fighting, no, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just love. And I think that it's hard for people to wrap their brain around that.
Interestingly enough, right?
Right.
It does have to do with identities, yeah. and who we're supposed to be and how we were raised or mm-hmm. what DNA yeah. we bring forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much to talk about around this, different levels, but the idea of starting with separation, discrimination, feeling separated from people hurts.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get right down to it, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been times in my life where I've experienced that kind of discrimination, and it hurts.
Yeah.
And having transitioned, I've added some of that into my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the discovery that... you know, it doesn't make me angry. It just hurts.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things around this is that, you know, when we look throughout history, we talk about revolutions, or we talk about big protests, and we talk about what a great change that was. But really, we're not really changing much. We're bringing some awareness into the group.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's really feeling.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of fist raising. There's a lot of things being said. And all of it worthwhile and all of it right.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's feeling that. And that is our radical revolution.
Yeah.
That's where our revolution is going to happen, is in the heart space. So I was wondering if you would share a story, some sort of story, okay. Your life or a story in your life.
I just got so excited. I was like, "Ooh, I get to talk for a while."
Yes.
That's tight.
Okay.
That's terrible. That's a radio thing. Like an interviewee, as an interviewee, it's like, for me, I'm like, yes, I get to tell the stories. Go ahead.
You like it, right?
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was wondering if you had a story relative to this, or just tell me something about your life.
Mm-hmm.
Not just me, but everybody out in the radio world.
Yeah. A part of my life, I guess I'm going to ask, I guess that's a question for myself. How far am I going to go?
I know, right?
Live, you know? But like, okay. It doesn't have to be anything in particular.
No, we're just having the conversation. And part of what's interesting about it is where you come from, what your experience is in life.
Yeah.
What you feel you bring forward from your formative years, or maybe right. even if you've felt some kind of DNA past stuff coming in that has an effect on your attitude.
Yeah. You know, the minute you said that made me think about a few days ago. I was doing my makeup and I looked in the mirror and I was talking to my partner and I was like frustrated about the day, and I just look in the mirror and I just like, I narrow my eyebrows and I like screamed. She's like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "I literally look just like my mom."
Oh.
When I did that. And I then, like, after I had looked at myself like that, I just had all these flashbacks of like her like looking at me like that with like that stern look, and then it made me think about like why she was like looking at me like that and when I was a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, at least being in my early 20s, I'm trying so hard to like step away from like that child sort of situation that a lot of young adults are, I believe, really trying to push to the older generation. Mm-hmm. Because we feel like we're not being seen as important enough. So when I looked in the mirror, I literally screamed because like all those thoughts ran through my head. And hi, Mom. I'm not saying my mom made me give those thoughts. I love my mom, but I think that that's a part of my little story, I guess, is trying. I'm still trying to build it, I feel like. But in the mm-hmm. way, I feel like I'm trying to present myself as, I don't know, adult. You know?
I'm sorry.
And it's so funny, and I feel funny saying adulting in front of like someone who's older than me, because they just look at me, they're like, "What are you talking about? What is adulting?"
And why would you want to be that?
But then some people will be like, "Well, you know what, don't ever grow old, you mm-hmm. know, stay young, you know." So I feel like in a way my story is still building, but I feel like I'm trying to shape in a way that it impacts people, you know, and myself. Mm-hmm. Being a part of things that I feel like I can be someone of service, you know, to somebody else. Because I feel like I learn from anything, everyone, every situation. So I think that I like that my story is still sort of continuing. Like, I don't have like a straight and narrow of it. You know, I could give you funny stories of my childhood past. I don't know, like, of like, I don't know, trips and things maybe around town, Portland. Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? Huh. We used to have a community garden back in the day. That was fun.
How was that?
Yo. Remembering the gardener handing me like a flower to eat. I looked at her with the most disgusted face and she laughed, like she started laughing, and I was like, why am I going to eat this? What is this? A flower? But she's like, and teaching, and the kids are just, you know, that's part of my story too. I think that my story is just in the city here, you know, mm-hmm. in Portland. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you said something to me earlier about showing up in spaces even though you may not want to.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you support a cause or you support the idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the first time that ever happened to me, I was like, this is the worst. I want to be here. I don't want to be here, you know, because it's not about me,
mm-hmm.
you know, never, you know. I may think of myself very highly, you know, but I'm never gonna, I feel like that is the number one cause of distraction in the movement is, you know, like dislike of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And not willing to show up because of one person, but that one person is a part of such a bigger situation. You know, humans feel. We feel when someone makes us angry. We feel when someone makes us sad. We feel when they make us happy. We may like people in the meantime, you know, and not like them later. Or learn to relight them again, you know what I mean? But if it's about the movement, you know. And I think that, yeah, I'm the type that's like, yeah, I'm still gonna show up. It's a protest, you know, like, you know, or figuring out, you know, whatever, you know, if the even city hall or things like that, you know, you see so many people and you may not like them,
mm-hmm.
but.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So I'm curious, like when you know you're going to show up somewhere and you know there's a person that, you know, you don't get along with, or maybe there's been some mm-hmm. static in there. I'm curious what you do with that energy, with those thoughts and stuff. And I heard what you said about it's a, when you go to something like that, it's bigger than you. So
yeah.
That's always cool.
Yeah.
But then
where does it go? What was the other part of your question?
So what do you do with that feeling? You know, especially if you run into that person or something.
Yeah, of course. I think I let it. Well, my mom always just tell me, like, let it wash off like water on a duck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So not give it energy.
Just let it roll away. Don't give it any energy. Don't even put it in your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Especially. Yeah.
Don't do that, because that's where it'll go first. You know, you see somebody you don't like, and then your stomach just like hits the ground. And you're like, oh no, they're here. You know, nah, man, you just gotta. And then you'll find that mm-hmm. you still can speak to them, or you know, say power up or something, and like, you know, how are you? You know, or something like that. Because then it kind of like melts away. It doesn't even matter at that point.
Mm-hmm. So some kind of connection.
Yeah.
There helps that energy dissipate.
Yeah, it does. I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
And that's like just one-on-one, right? That
totally, yeah.
That may or may not have anything to do with ethnic or racial background.
No,
or
it's like
situation.
Simply just caring about, if you care about the movement, then that means, like, if I care about the movement, that means that I automatically care about everybody mm-hmm. who is affected by it. So that means I already have care for you, regardless of any disagreements we may have, or the way, or if I don't like you, you know, because I believe people have the right to not like people. That is okay. People don't always get along. It's totally fine, but caring is different than liking someone, in my opinion. I think that caring means that you're like, you recognizing it's not about just any particular person. You know, caring is like you're caring about yourself and literally the entire universe. You know?
Yeah, right.
And then, and that's that energy that drives movements and that drives revolutions, you know. But if we don't let that roll off, if you can't show up to a protest because you know that you're going to see someone you don't like, you know,
then it's really about you.
Yeah.
Not the protest.
Because the protest is about you, you know. Well, but but going back to my point, it's about the whole.
Yeah.
You know, and are you, and it's like, well,
I liked what you said though about the caring.
Yeah.
So you go into a small group, you know there's somebody, you know, that you don't really have a lot of appreciation for, but you set that aside. So it's not really in your gut level. It's not really a thing you're carrying. It's just kind of a thing you can let roll off.
Yeah, that's for me. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's look at it universally. Yeah. Let's look at that kind of action. Would you recommend that kind of action for somebody?
I would recommend it for literally the entire universe.
Yeah, right?
The planet needs that. Everybody needs to care.
That's interesting because our survival as a species, the whole, all of the people on the world as a species is going to come down to this.
Right.
Like you said, you don't have to come over to my house for dinner.
Right.
But you don't have to put those feelings of dislike or angst or nervousness, whatever, onto somebody else.
Yeah, because you'll probably be surprised. I've found that I've had situations where I'm the only one feeling like, oh my goodness, they don't like me, you know? But and then they are like, what are you talking about? You know? Because it just... And then when those moments happened to me in the past, it'd be like, oh, it didn't matter, you know, because maybe if I just didn't care about that, then I would have been shocked for them to, you know, approach me in a way that's you know, how I didn't expect, you know.
So, yeah. I mean, that's to have that in your consciousness when you walk into a place, you know, about anybody that's in there, that you're actually here for a bigger picture. You're here for a bigger cause than just your own feelings or somebody else's feelings.
Right.
Exactly. There's actually room for healing in there.
There is. I agree with you.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that allows healing. Closure in some way. Yeah,
kind of like, is it worth carrying a resentment or a dislike?
Right.
And isn't it interesting? It's like on a one-to-one, you might have had an instance that triggers this dislike or upset. But then on a bigger level, say racial, ethnic, gender differences where people tend to group others in, you know, big racial groups or gender groups, like all trans people are bad or all gay people are bad or good or whatever, but a judgment that's put out non-specifically, if those people who are carrying that kind of belief system could set it aside when they're in a group of people that, you know, that there's people from all different walks of life represented.
Yeah.
How much healing could go on in that moment?
A lot.
That would be a revolution right there.
It would be a lot of healing. It would be a lot of it would be a lot of love.
Well, and here's the deal. It's like, how do we get this message out there? I mean,
we're doing it now.
We're doing it now. And how do we keep it going?
Yeah.
How do we really shift and move this conversation out into the world?
Well,
Rachel,
there are some forms of social media that I believe are being used right now for not showing care or love. I think that social media is a way to really share quickly information. I think that this generation has been called the generation of information.
Uh-huh.
It's because people are, they're just wanting to know more. You know.
So you said that the social media platforms can be used this way.
Yeah. I think that some people, right now it's more about, of course, the debate and topics and the madness that's going on. But mm-hmm. I think that I'm gonna give more of myself when I see you know, little animal Instagrams, you feel me? Like little puppies Instagram videos and and like they're so calming and nice and really make me want a dog. And that I want to see more of that. I want to see more kind things. I want to see more people sharing things that they love or more of their day. Now, some people do that, of course, but gosh, I open up my Twitter, or I open up my Facebook. Gosh, I see so many terrible, like sad things on Facebook, and I'm like, God, why aren't we sharing more of that? So I think that people could just use more of their time to sort of, which I think is self-care. Definitely to shut off a lot of the negativity. There's a way to do it. Now this brings me back to when the president was elected and I got rid of my social media, and I was really sort of like, or I just didn't really use it either because I was like, I don't need any of this. So I just kind of chucked it in a way.
Because of the volume of information and
exactly.
People saying stuff.
Yeah. And I just saw more of like the hate happening. And I just couldn't handle it. And I was so hurt to see like people just hurting each other and being racist and being homophobic and harming each other. And not each other. That's not correct. I just want to make that clear. I believe that it's a one side against, in my opinion. I think that people are harming people because of hate. But I say that like in a way of lovingly saying like I'm hurt. It hurt me to see that. And so I shut it off. But as I slowly come back like on it and reconnecting with people, like, because I was off of it. I wasn't on it consistently, I want to say, for like a cool year. And people just caught on, like, oh, okay, you can add Rachel on the Snapchat and the Instagram and Facebook, but you can't expect her to like your post. You can message her because she'll get, I have like the alerts on for messages and things like that. But
of course.
All right. but nothing's, because I just didn't want to see what was on the timeline. I didn't want to see what was going on. It was too painful.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah. And I just have like a certain, I just feel like my relationship with communication is just so, it's a very loving, hating relationship. I love communications and how it works and things like that. But I was heartbroken. I was like, dang, this is my way of connecting. I feel connected to the world and I don't even want to be a part of it.
Right. You know, the the political situation we're in here right now seems more than just political.
Yeah.
It seems like what's really happening is the core beliefs of different groups are really being tested. They're really being brought up up where everybody can see it. Mm-hmm. You know, people with good intentions say really weird, nasty, mean things.
Right.
People with not so good intentions are doing that anyway.
Right.
Lots of notice around, you know, flat out racism, separation, and hatred.
Yeah.
And when I happen on some of that stuff, I get shocked.
Hmm.
I mean, there's an impact.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, I can't believe what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe somebody would actually write this stuff down.
Hmm.
And act like it's normal.
Yeah.
It is hurtful. You know?
Yeah.
So you're talking to somebody here who is got deficits in the area of social media. So Rachel's suggestion to everybody over what, 30? No.
Oh my
God. No, I'm just teasing.
There are people over 30 who I know use Instagram. My aunties.
Uh-huh.
I use Instagram.
Well, I find myself in a position where I'm needing to be on Facebook
mm-hmm.
and Instagram.
Yes.
And I don't know about the other stuff.
Right.
But I'm having to get training mm-hmm. so that I can figure out what to do with this little tiny thing that's in my hand we call phones, and they do all kinds of stuff, and you push buttons. You just showed me you can go live on Instagram.
Yeah. They're like, well, I don't even see my phone as a phone. This thing is a robot.
Oh.
She knows too much.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely that part.
Yeah, I know. It's just but I didn't even answer your question. To answer your question, yes, I think that's the form where I think
mm-hmm.
people should be using to spread more love.
To spread more love and what tips for
mm-hmm.
kindness? Tips for being a human being?
Right. Yeah.
Tips to be gentle today.
Yeah.
I came across this piece of writing here. It's called A Common Prayer, A Liturgy for Ordinary Radicals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read it.
Okay.
So it says, peacemaking doesn't mean passivity. It is the act of interrupting injustice
mm-hmm.
without mirroring injustice.
Mm-hmm.
The act of disarming evil without destroying the evildoer. The act of finding a third way that is neither fight nor flight, but the careful, arduous pursuit of reconciliation and justice. It is about a revolution of love that is big enough to set both the oppressed and the oppressors free. I like it.
Nice.
It is such a holistic statement or idea that the people that are, you know, the oppressors,
mm-hmm.
they're so bound up and burdened with the control, the hatred, the you know, the power that they need to be set free too.
Yeah.
And it's in our revolution of love, our internal revolution, that can happen.
Hmm.
You know. Yeah. it's pretty, it's a little ways, but I got it off of social media. Mm-hmm. I got it off the net, off of Facebook.
Mm-hmm. No, you got it off of Facebook. That's hella funny. I love that.
Yeah. So that has to do with our,
yeah,
our social media. There's there's great things to find on there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to do a music break or?
Sure. Would you like to do a short break?
Oh, I mean, if you want to.
Sure, I could use that. Welcome back. Here we are.
Hello.
Hey. So I thought I would share a little story about myself, just so listeners can get to know me a little better and also yourself and maybe take some conversation out of that. Mm-hmm. I was raised in Berkeley in the 50s and the 60s, not to date myself, but it's the truth.
That's okay. Yeah.
You know, we lived, my father was a doctor. We lived up near the base of the Berkeley Hills. But as a child, well, not a baby child, but an older child, I rode my bike everywhere around Berkeley and around Oakland. I rode my bike from all the way down to the waterfront and all the way back up. And I did that in Berkeley when I was in my early teens and didn't think a thing of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we were, you know, our family had pretty much an open door policy. It wasn't, you know, locked much of the time. And so there was a constant stream of people coming through the house, always interesting characters. In Berkeley in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, that's so funny.
It was interesting times. And so I got to see a lot of different people and a lot of different ideas and always a lot of music that went on. And yeah. I remember my folks always had this gallon jug of wine with a red tablecloth on it. Mm. And you'd know it was a long night if it was empty in the morning. But, you know, growing up in Berkeley, going through junior high and high school, there was people from all over the world in those two schools in my life. And so, you know, when I think back on the incredible opportunity that was, because if you know we saw so many people that our conversations had no real boundaries. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you got into it with somebody, it was usually because, you know, mm-hmm. they called your mom a name or something like yeah. that, right?
It was, of course. Yes.
You know, it didn't have, you know, from an ethnic and racial background, even though there was separation in Berkeley, yeah. it wasn't really in our daily lives. We spent all day in school with everybody. So it was a great opportunity to grow up like that and not have beliefs installed in or live in a community that had a lot of prejudice in it or a lot of separation. I remember in junior high walking past places full of Hell's Angels, and then the next block was all hippies, and the next block was, you know, some other group and some other group up into the university, and it's like, this was all normal. It was all normal stuff. It's like, everybody's just doing their thing.
That's what's up. I love the Bay Area.
I know, right?
It's so pretty. It's warm.
Yeah. Relative to now, yeah.
I love Portland. It's just too cold. So tired. That's so funny. I think of Portland like that, like,
really?
Hippie life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever else, you know, hipster life, which is, when I was called a hipster and I gagged. I was called a yuppie.
Oh my God, seriously?
Over avocado toast.
Avocado toast?
I don't know. I've been called a yuppie 3 times. I've been counting.
I won't say anything.
Because I like avocado toast. Avocado those are good toast. For you. Whatever. Anyways. But hippies, that's definitely Portland. Like people who walk in like, like the huge, like colorful or like gray, like shawls and things, you know? Or like, what else? What else? Someone from California that I know is like, when I envision Portland people, I think of like those like Birkenstocks or like those like biker like sandals, you know, and like just like real hippie vibes. I was like, that's
well, you know, back
apparel.
Then back then apparel was tie dye stuff,
of course,
bare feet.
I have a bunch of tie-dye t-shirts I made when I was a kid.
Of course. Oh, serious.
Summer camp.
Sweet.
Yeah, I went to day camp. It's called Bethel Lutheran Drop-In Center.
Keep those. They're
in
gold.
North Portland. And, yo, I had to give some to, like, friends and everybody. Like, here, I was, like, asking everybody, does anyone want a shirt? I have too many tie-dye t-shirts. And we would just make them when I was little, so... Yeah, I love tie-dye, but was it more like, okay, out here you would see somebody in tie-dye, but not as like often? How often did you see people in Berkeley wearing tie-dye back in the day?
That was
it.
That was the dress code.
It's like seeing a sea of people in tie-dye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
And everybody was growing their hair out at that time.
Yeah.
And just kind of letting it hang out, but it was about... increasing awareness, I feel. It's like, I don't know if we actually had that consciousness at the moment that we were increasing awareness of each other.
Cool, yeah.
But when I look back on it, that's really what we were doing, was we were stopping for a minute, stopping the train.
Yeah.
It's just, so we want to get off of this train. There was, civil rights movements going on. This was right before Martin Luther King, I believe, got, more attention and started getting out there more. So this was before that kind of time. But it was like the beginning of that whole wave of starting to raise some consciousness, raise your thought vibration, raise your consideration of what's going on around us. And is it right or is it wrong? Because, you know, we all have the innate moral code of what is right and what is wrong. And you know, when you hurt people, it's not right.
Yeah.
Whether it's emotionally, you know, like verbally or physically, you know, it's like we know in our heart that it's not right. You know, we know that kindness, helping people, feeling good about being a part of a group.
Yeah.
We know, we instinctively know that feels better, that that's right.
Yeah.
It's the right direction. And so a lot of that time was about bringing awareness, and I feel like I don't know where that's happening now. I mean,
like in Berkeley or
no, anywhere.
Oh yeah.
That same level of raising our awareness, I suppose it happens yeah. over all different kinds of platforms.
Mm. Yeah. Like, do you mean like just sharing with each other and things like that? Raising awareness, like, I feel like, because I agree, I think that, well, I think that people raise awareness. This is funny. I'm all about like facts and things, but people share their awareness based off like their opinions, you know, and like whatever they think is right to them. And that if you put out what's right to you, put it out in a way that has empathy, intention, mm-hmm. and perspective. You know, like, to, if you truly believe in what you are speaking of, give it with empathy and intention and allowing that perspective, allowing that other person to have a seat at the table,
mm-hmm.
to talk and to learn, right? And we can, you know, we can tell that person that they're wrong before they get a seat at the table. That's not, I think that's okay, because it's like, it's prepping them
for, you're gonna be told you're wrong.
What's to come, right? Like,
I want you to be ready for this.
Right, and I mean, I'm giving you a fair fight. I'm giving you a fair fight. This is what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I don't feel like I have to dress anything up. If I feel like you're wrong, prove to me then
mm-hmm.
why you think I'm wrong and why you're right. Or surprise me in finding a common ground.
Common ground. No right, no wrong, just different perspectives.
Different perspectives. But, and it's funny because, you know, I can just feel the energy. Somebody heard this and was like, what are you talking about? really? We're going to give them a chance. You know what I mean? It's not giving them a chance. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I think that's so dangerous to someone who is fueled with hate.
Is to what?
Is to be vulnerable. And to be...
For them to be vulnerable?
And have perspective. And mm-hmm. to be given perspective. It forces them to have to think mm-hmm. critically. So I don't think a lot of people are thinking critically about what they do. You know? And they're not thinking critically about what it's wrong. And so it's wrong. And it's you're choosing to inflict pain.
So we're talking about beliefs, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Somebody's so locked into a belief.
Yeah.
Do you wonder whether or not that person might understand where that belief came from?
Oh, I see. Yeah, like if they may not know where they have this thought process of whatever.
Mm-hmm. Separation, negativity, judgment, criticism.
I think that if people thought hard enough, they could be like, this influenced me to think this.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if people are like, I know
where a belief came from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know. Unless someone's like reading about it or asking around and trying to gather their own information.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, they open their phone, they scroll, they get
social
their
media.
Yeah. Oh, that looks great.
I Click think off. I'll believe that.
Boom, and that's it. And
so you know, when it comes to our ethnic differences on this planet, there are built-in beliefs that certain groups of people carry. Mm-hmm. And it's generations old, right? That belief, those beliefs. There's some beliefs that people are less than. You know, there's some beliefs that are more holistic, like, you know, we all share the planet and we all have a space here. And isn't it interesting that those core beliefs come through culturally?
I think it's interesting.
Yeah. And so the, a person, I don't want to get too tense on, on identities because I'm thinking of like, you know.
You're like, this is only the first show.
I don't want to like really.
Start digging deep. I was like, I was ready. I was like, you know, we're already really raw right now. We're already really, you know, vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
Like, well, now you can ask me. Whatever. Like, we're there. Like,
so it's, you know, if there's a person that has a really rigid belief about it leans in towards arrogance, like they are better than you on whatever level. You know, it doesn't really matter what the identifying factor is, why, you know, what the belief is is about, but they carry that arrogance. How would you approach? And you had to approach this person for some reason. Maybe they work for you. You're the boss. You know they carry these beliefs that they're better than you. How would you deal with that? Put you on the spot right there, eh?
Yo, because I've just had a conversation about this with one of my best friends. Because when we were talking about what it meant to be or what people were thinking about being better than other people. It was like, we were saying that not in a sense of I can walk all over you, like I'm better, you know, but there's just this wave of marginalized folks who are like, I might be better at this because you don't think I can do this. So in order for me to believe I can do this, I have to think I'm better. And it's, people are probably hearing it and are like, that is so arrogant to want to implement that in a movement. Why would we, isn't that the opposite? And in our conversation, and my friend who's also a black woman, she was like, it's not in the saying that that, because there's a lot of people who do, yeah, they think that I'm better, that they're better than me, so I have to like jump and jump this obstacle in a way and overlap their, not only their thought process, but then my own thought process of maybe believing them because they're a privileged person, and then I can, then it's like feeling at the same level as them.
That competition,
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it's helpful? I don't know.
Ah.
I feel like it's a dangerous game to play.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's dangerous, but I think that people are trying to...
Spiritually dangerous.
It is. You totally.
You dive.
Yes. Yeah.
You dive into that better than thou, better than this, and get into that competition.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Someone's going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it's right? I don't think so.
No, it's not right.
But I think that people are tired and they're fed
up. Right?
They're fed up and they're trying to find different ways to not feel so little, or to feel so less than, or to feel so targeted. You know?
Right? Yeah. So we have a whole lot more to talk about coming up.
Yeah.
Next time the show is on, we'll be on the third Tuesday of every month.
Yes.
And I want to thank you so much for supporting the show and myself and coming on and sharing and stuff.
Yeah. This was fun.
Yeah.
I love conversations.
So Rachel is the KBOO News Director, PM News Director.
Whoop, whoop.
And she was instrumental in helping this show get forward and get on the air. Aww. So thank you so much.
Well, you know, I don't really do. Thanks.
Yeah, but you do it well.
But this is, thank you.
Yeah, and it's fun to support you.
It's fun to support you too.
In
this
what
is
you're
great.
Doing, yeah.
And I can't wait to see what else you have to offer to the mic.
Yeah, me too.
All right, cool.
And I want to a shout out to Samia for doing our board op.
Whoop, whoop.
And to KBOO. Online, there's plenty of room to help us out here financially.
Become a member. Donate. Go to the website, kboo.fm. Go to the sign it clicks on that looks like you should be clicking on it and says donate. And your mouse should click on it.
And become a member and be part of the community.
Hey.
Come down, be on this show.
Whoop, whoop.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Guinevere.
Good night.
It is.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. What you just heard was a new show with Guinevere called Is It You or Is It Me? And Is It You or Is It Me will be on the third Tuesday of every month, and Guinevere is the host. And next up is Calculated Conversation with David and Ken, and they will be up after these short promos.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor, Demilitarizing the Pacific, on Wednesday, February 20th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Peace House in Portland. Demilitarizing the Pacific features three Indigenous women speaking on the destruction of a coral reef to expand a military base in Japan, curbing military buildup in Guam, and peace and justice in Hawaii. Again, that's Demilitarizing the Pacific on Wednesday, February 20th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Peace House, 2116 Northeast 18th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hi, I'm Rick Mitchell. What did jazz artist Christian Scott Atunde Adjaye